This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I am delighted to be with you today. What a glorious day it is in the Lord, and what a wonderful opportunity we have to come together in this electronic community, this family that is in this time block, Monday through Friday, at this same time. And I'll tell you, it's just a real pleasure to be able to enter into these moments together to explore what it is that our Lord has in mind for us. And I know he's got great things in mind for us. There's absolutely no question about that. Our Lord has great things in mind for us, and he wants us to explore them. And we get a chance to do that together on days like this, to enter more deeply into our life of faith, to live that abundant life in our Lord Jesus Christ, and to share it with others, and really and truly to open our hearts to all that he wants to give to us. And he wants to give us an infinitude of grace. He wants to give us an infinitude of divine life. The only thing that prevents us from receiving the whole of it is our capacity, our receptivity. And, you know, that's what these moments help to do. It helps to open us up to the things of the Lord. It helps to bring healing into our lives. It helps to, align our thinking with that of God's. It helps us to understand how to enter into that dynamic of love that he wants us to know. Helps for us to evaluate our lives. How are they in line with his will? How are they not? How do we discern his will? That's all of, the stuff that we do right here on Women of Grace Live Monday through Friday, and a whole lot more too. And as I tell you, you are such a tremendous part of this outreach. You are an evangelist through this program because your stories, your questions, your considerations, your insights, the way in which the Lord has moved in your life become an inspiration for others that lead them ever closer. So this is your program. You know, it is for you, but it is a program for you to be able to proclaim. So we always invite you to join us here Monday through Friday. Let me give you the toll-free number. Charles Beery on the phones for you, and he is eager to hear from you. It makes him smile when you call. And you know, one of our missions in life is to help people experience joy. And you can do that so easily for Charles by giving him a call. And here is the number for you to use. It's very, very simple. Here's what it is. It is 833-288-EWTN. Of course, that is toll-free for you right here in North America. That's 833-288-3986. I'll repeat it one more time, 833-288-EWTN. Charles is communicating with me here, and he is saying that he would love to chat with you. That's what he said. And I would love to chat with you too. So you got to get to Charles before you get to me. So chat with Charles, and he'll get you up on the board, and we will have some beautiful, beautiful, holy conversation together. Also, we're available for you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And all you need to do is go to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel, Facebook page, and use the chat feature. And the question will come up because Jeff Burson, our producer and social media manager, will retrieve it and get it up on the board. I'm giddy today. I'm tired today. But I'm with you today, and I'm happy today because it makes me happy. Had a beautiful, absolutely phenomenal weekend, beginning with Thursday evening when we arrived in South Florida, in Fort Lauderdale, and then continuing through Friday when we were at the Heart of Jesus Catholic Church there in Fort Lauderdale, and then continuing through Saturday. Saturday was a big day for our family. Seven of our members, all of whom are children, were confirmed at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church, and one little guy also was baptized. So our newest addition, Samuel, who is, how old is he now? Maybe 10 weeks old, was baptized, and he was confirmed. And the other six littles, as we call them, they were all confirmed as well. And then we had two neighbor children, whom my daughter and son, my son, I call him my Micah son, son-in-law. He's more like a son to me. They had been catechizing these children in the neighborhood with their parents' permission, and they came and they were baptized. They received First Holy Communion, and they were also confirmed that day. So what a remarkable moment this was for us. And, it was just really beautiful. And some of those images from that beautiful day, from all of it, from the Friday at Heart of Jesus Catholic Church, as well as the confirmations and baptisms and Holy Communions are out there on my Facebook page. So just go out there to my Facebook page, Johnette's, and you will find it there. And also, you know, some shots of myself and my husband, Jack, and my sister, and my daughter, Jessica, who flew in from Houston for this beautiful moment that we've all experienced together, are also there. We were down on Clearwater Beach. We went down there on, I guess that was, I don't know when that was, to tell you the truth. I think that it was, Sunday. I think it was Sunday we were down there. That's right, it was Sunday. And, you know, just we had beautiful weather that day. We're kind of dressed up because we were coming from Mass. So, and we had gone to an evening Mass that day because we had been traveling back from the other coast. But you're going to see all of that there. And I invite you to go out there and to take a look. And if you're in social media land right now and you want to go out and look and comment on them, I'd love to see your comments. And then that also applies for all of you, you know, that are with us by phone, because you obviously can do two things at one time. And so you can do that too. So we invite you to get out there and to take a peek. Just a beautiful, beautiful time together. You know, and I have to tell you that this parish, this Heart of Jesus Catholic Church there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, is a very welcoming parish. It's a Maronite parish. And they just could not have been more cordial, more gracious, more welcoming. Core Bishop Michael Thomas did an absolutely extraordinary job in making every person who came to that event. We had men and women, mostly women, but more than the usual men, a number of men. He made everybody feel so welcome. You know, at both events, the one event where I was speaking, but in addition to that, the beautiful event that took place, you know, that was for our family and invited guests. Just a lovely job. The talk was very unusual. It was different than the talks that I normally give. We have been asked if it's going to be made available. It was recorded. I don't know what the quality of the recording is, so we'll have to listen to that and see if it's worthy of you know, dissemination in some fashion. But it really became, you know, a teaching exercise. But in addition to that, it became also a meditative exercise, you know, an entering into the heart of Jesus. And I have just a few little notes on that that I thought that I would share with you sometime through the course of the program, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. It all depends. And it depends on you. I would love to get your phone calls. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us. But this is really a teaching that comes from St. Francis de Sales. And he encourages us through his writings to enter into the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us the means by which we can do that. And it's a simple means. It's the Salesian, you know, method of mental prayer. It has a lot of the features that Ignatian prayer has, the exercises, but it has its own distinctive, you know, characteristics as well. So we'll see where we go today. It's open to you. The show's open to you, as it always is. It's open to the Holy Spirit, which it must be, or else nothing good happens. And we'll just see where we go together on this beautiful, beautiful Tuesday in the Lord. Let me give you that number again. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Looking forward to hearing from you. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be with you today. We certainly are. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us do what? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And I am glad to be with you today. Looking forward to hearing from you today. Eager, eager, eager to take your calls, to hear what you have to say, your inspirations, your insights, your words of encouragement. All of that is so, so very important to us. And as I was saying prior to the break there, you know, This is a way, a means of evangelization. The program, of course, but the program by itself, it does what it does. But you make the program. And that's where the evangelization takes place, because when you share, when you ask a question, when you give us an insight, when you share about something that's going on in your life that might be distressing you, you give opportunity for discussion to happen. And what gets done here and what you have to share impacts the lives of other people. So in one way, you know, when you call in, you are fulfilling your baptismal obligation to spread the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be one who broadcasts his message in the true sense of the word, to, you know, take the seed and to broadly cast it about, right? So we really look forward to hearing from you here. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. That's the way that you can join us here today. And we also invite you to use social media. You simply go out to EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page and use the chat feature there. And Jeff Burson, our social media manager and producer, will go out there, he'll grab it, he'll get it up on the board. We'll be able to see what's going on in your world. So I was telling you about this beautiful experience that we had at the Heart of Jesus Catholic Church there in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I just want to publicly thank Core Bishop Michael Thomas for bringing us to his beautiful parish, for the graces that come forth from that parish to my children and my grandchildren, and for the gracious welcome that he gave to all of those who participated in the event on Friday. It was really quite a lovely, lovely day together. And as I shared with you last week, it was going to begin with a Eucharistic procession. And oh my goodness, it was so beautiful. We were in the gazebo outside of the church. Jesus was there with us exposed. We had the exposition there. We then processed into the church proper with our Lord, and then we had the benediction, and then we had Mass, the beautiful celebration of the Eucharist, which is a Maronite liturgy, which is just beautiful, so rich, so full. The prayers are amazing. That was just wonderful. We had lunch that was prepared by the parish there, and it was authentic Lebanese food, because everybody cooking it was Lebanese. It was the real deal stuff. It was delicious. And then we had the keynote talk. And I was sharing with you that it was really a journey into love. It was an entering into the hearts of our Lord and our Blessed Lady, and it was quite lovely. And I wanted to share with you just a little bit about the way in which the Salesian spirituality takes us to the depths. So I'm reading from this beautiful book called Behold This Heart, St. Francis de Sales and Devotion to the Sacred Heart, written by Father Thomas Daly. I believe that he is a Salesian priest, and he helps for us to understand the way in which St. Francis de Sales leads a Salesian method of leading us into mental prayer. And there are really four steps in it, and I'm going to put these out here, and I'd like you to think about them. And if you have any questions on them or comments on them, or if you've used this method and it's really worked well for you, I'd like to know about it. So here we go. The first step, it says, the first consists of a lively, attentive realization of God's absolute presence, that is, that God is in all things and all places. Now, it doesn't mean that everything is God, but it does mean that God sustains everything by his very presence, by his very being. And I love this, because when we sit down to pray, we can become outrageously distracted by everything that's going on around us, both in the environment that we're sitting in, you know, the things that occupy our mind, you know, our to-do list, for example, or the circumstances that are taking place within our family life. And often we come into prayer and we're filled up. We're filled up with all of these things. But what we want to do is to gradually begin to replace these things with this lively, attentive realization of God's absolute presence. And so we take, you know, a particular control through an act of the will to lay aside, you know, the environment that we're in, to lay aside that to-do list, to lay aside everything that is worrying us, concerning us, pressing upon us, all of the preparations that we might have to make for a joyous event. We deliberately, through an act of the will, lay those to the side. And when they seek to come in to, impose themselves once again upon this time of prayer that we're entering into, or already maybe well into, once again, we've got to exercise the will and put them to the side. You know, and if we're afraid we're going to forget, have a little pad and paper there and write it down, or ask your guardian angel. I often ask my guardian angel, please remind me of this later on, but angel, help me to be attentive right now, right? Because it's not the angel that's inciting these things. It's not your guardian angel. It's generally ourselves. And sometimes, you know, the evil one can play a part in that. He'll stoke the fire. But we have to make this act of the will to disengage so that we can engage God. And we want to bring into our consciousness the fact that God is with us in this moment. He's always with us. We are never outside of the presence of God. And we want to cultivate a healthy awareness of that. And one of the ways that we do that through the course of the day, of course, would be through aspirations, you know, little aspirations that turn our hearts and our mind to God. Oh, Jesus, a font of mercy, be with me in this moment. You know, oh, most sacred heart of Jesus, I love you. Blessed Mother, be with me. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Little prayers like this, little aspirations. Back in the day when I was growing up, they were called ejaculations. These little prayers that we wing off help to center us into the presence of God, even when we're busy about other activities. So when we're coming into a formal time of prayer, you know, our prayer time, a time of the day that we set aside for this, we have a lively, attentive realization of God's absolute presence. That is, that God is in all things and he's in all places. And most especially in those moments, he's directly in front of us. The second way, or the second step, is to remember that he is not only in the place where we happen to be, but also that he is present in a most particular manner in our heart, in the very center of our spirit. And let me tell you what I like to do. And maybe this will be of value to you. If it is, great. If it's not, just discard it. But I like to think, I like to picture my heart. And when I picture my heart, I'm not picturing the organ itself. I'm picturing the innermost part of my being. You know, and that's what the heart is, biblically speaking. That's the definition for the heart, the innermost part, the truest part of the human person. And I like to try to picture that, use my imagination. That's very big in Ignatian exercises. It's also very, very big in Salesian spirituality. Use the imagination to picture your heart, right? And in my heart, what I try to do is I try to envision it as a cloister. One time I met a beautiful woman who talked about the cloistered heart. And that's how I like to picture my heart. My heart is a cloister. And I'm entering into the cloister. And sometimes I even visibly, you know, using my imagination, I visibly picture myself through the eye of my imagination entering into this cloister and entering into the most sacred part of that cloister, which would be the chapel. And in that chapel, I picture the altar. And that is in the center of my heart, my cloistered heart. So I go before the altar of God, and I like to look and image our Jesus in the sacred species. So I picture a monstrance. Most typically, the last monstrance I've seen where Jesus has been exposed is the one that comes into my mind. And so I picture him there, and then I adore him as if I was before him in the chapel at EWTN, for example. Right? So I adore him and I praise him and I worship him and I come into his presence and I acknowledge that he is present to me, in the room where I am, but most especially in this innermost part of my being. And then the third step is to consider how Jesus, now this is Salesian mental prayer, how our Savior in his humanity gazes down from heaven on all mankind, and most especially on those who are at prayer, whose actions and conduct he observes. So I picture Jesus, and I picture him looking at me, you know, in this most particular moment. But as he's looking at me, his omniscient gaze sees everything. And he sees you in prayer at the same time. And this is a beautiful thing because in a certain sense, it unites us as the mystical body of Christ. Yes, in that particular moment, you know, Johnette is in prayer and Jesus is looking at Johnette. But there are millions of people in far-flung places of the world who are also in prayer at this moment. And he's gazing upon them. And this unites us together as the mystical body of Christ. And we feel a certain solidarity with all of these individuals. And I'll tell you what else happens sometimes is that you can actually feel the prayers of others as well as your own prayer. And it's a lovely thing you know, to perhaps mention them to our Lord. Lord, you see me in this moment, and you have eyes only for me, but because you are not limited by time and space, you have eyes only for each brother and sister who is joined at this moment in prayer as well. And so I ask that you bless them and bless their prayer time and bless my prayer time. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that a beautiful way to really acknowledge this mystery of faith that is ours? Okay, so we do that. And then the fourth method consists in use of simple imagination when we represent to ourselves the Savior in his sacred humanity, as if he were near us, just as we sometimes imagine a friend to be present. And that last part, I think, is so very beautiful. All of that is so very beautiful. So Jesus in his sacred humanity, and so, you know, at the heart of Jesus, I was Catholic Church on Friday, I was talking about that remarkable reality of the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he showed and revealed to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque. And he invites us into that heart. And he invites our consolation and our reparation for the sins of humanity against him, for our personal sins. And at the same time, he's offering us the consolation because he knows our suffering. He knows our difficulty. He knows all of it because there was nothing that he did not experience in his passion. And he's merited the grace for you through his passion to be able to embrace, not just endure, but to embrace whatever it is that's ailing you at that moment, right? And he makes provision for that. And in the process of making that provision, he's working grace into you. And it's a beautiful thing. And I used the image of resting our head against the heart of our Lord. And I shared once again, and I've shared this with you, I think last week, that, you know, Jesus in that image of the Sacred Heart, his head is surrounded by thorns. And you know, when we lay our head against the heart of Jesus, we're going to be pricked by those thorns. And what is that then? It's the greatest invitation of all. It's our Lord sharing a portion of his passion with us that we might bring consolation. And I asked the people, I said, you know, in sacred scripture, where is the first time we see somebody leaning his head on our Lord? Well, that takes place at the Last Supper. And Jesus has just basically announced to all that were gathered that one of them was going to betray him. And it was going to be the one who took the morsel of food from the dish. And it was Judas. And he took that morsel. Might have even been the Eucharistic presence of our Lord, the first act of blasphemy. And Satan entered him and he left, right? And I invited the people to think about that depth of betrayal and abandonment and rejection that Jesus felt in that moment. And I said to the people, there's nobody here who hasn't experienced betrayal, abandonment, rejection. We've all experienced that. So now, call up a memory of your greatest betrayal, your greatest abandonment, your greatest rejection, and allow yourself to feel that pain again. And that is the smallest, most minute degree of pain that our Lord felt in this betrayal, because Judas's betrayal was personal to Judas. It was a personal affront to our Lord. And yet, in some way, it was representative of all of the affronts that he would experience throughout time, which also afflicted him. And we come to see that in the agony of the garden, which will take place shortly thereafter, right? And in some way, saying, we can be empathetic to our Lord. We understand because we are offering that very experience of betrayal to him as a way of saying, I know what you're going through. And in some way, I hope to slake that betrayal by not betraying you in this moment, right? And we can do that, you know, with every other moment of our Lord's life. And this makes a very personal connection to our Lord. And it is a means by which, you know, we can enter into his most sacred heart, because this is a shared suffering. And we can console him, but even as we console him, because of this acknowledgement of our suffering in union with his, we become receptive to the way in which he wants to console us. So it's a very beautiful thing. And I think that this four-step method is quite lovely. And a little later on in this book, he says, the final step is essential to the devotion. What was that final step? It's the use of the imagination. When we represent to ourselves the Savior in a sacred humanity as if he were near us, just as we sometimes imagine a friend to be present. And so then St. Francis de Sales emphasizes that, and Father Thomas Daly emphasizes it as well, and says the final step is essential to the devotion. Mysticism for St. Francis de Sales is not an abstraction, not simply a thought or a feeling. Mental prayer is meant to transform our lives. And you can see how that moment would be very transforming. Thus, Salesian meditation always includes a resolution, a decision to embody or put into practice the inspirations received by acting in determinate ways that align our human reality with the divine mystery about which we are prayed. And you heard in my little description there, the resolution, I seek to never betray you again, right? That's a resolution. And so what are these steps? The four first steps: presence, mystery, consideration, affection, and then resolution. And I want to tell you this. You know, our Blessed Mother will help you to do this. Our Blessed Mother will aid you in this. And just ask her, Mother, help me, show me, lead me, inspire me, help me, you know, guide me. And our Blessed Lady will come and she will aid you, because it is her most beautiful privilege as spiritual mother to lead us to the depths of her Son, to lead us into those mysteries. And that's what she longs to do. So just some thoughts for you to think about today. If these thoughts have meant anything to you, please let us know here. Charles Beery is eager. He is chomping at the bit to answer your calls. I'm chomping at the bit to hear your calls. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We have Sarah with us. And Sarah, we're going to get to you first right after the break. I invite you to hold on there. We want to see these phone lines light up today. You know, sun is finally coming out here in Florida, but you can make it sunny with your phone calls, right? And with the messages that you leave for us at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Well, welcome back, everybody. We're so happy to be with you today. We certainly are. Love hearing from you. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Cannot emphasize it enough. The number for you to use is 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Pick up the phone. Give us a call. Charles Beery on the phone for you today. He's eager to hear from you. Yes, he is. So is Jeff Burson. Jeff Burson hears from you via social media. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you. The chat feature is the way you communicate with us. Make certain to use it. Yes, we'll love that very much. We have Sarah with us. She is in Seattle, Washington today. She is joining us via SiriusXM Station 130. Good morning, Sarah. How are you?
Doing good. Good morning. Good morning. I had called beforehand about, and you helped me pray for my son, Luke, who was born with a few issues.
Yes.
And we have more suffering in our family, unfortunately. My sister gave birth to her daughter, Claire, and on the 27th of May, and they just found out that she has a few heart issues.
Okay.
That hopefully resolve, but we don't know, and it's just brought more suffering to my family, and I know that my mom has taken it really hard.
Sure.
As to, you know, why is this happening, and
sure.
I just
What kind of Sarah, first of all, let me ask you, how is Luke doing?
He's doing great. So I have actually a couple occupational therapy appointments. I had to be gone for work. I'm in the military, and I came back, and he was getting so big, and I just continue to pray for his healing.
Sarah, we join you in that prayer. Now, what about this little lady? What's going on with her? These heart issues, what kind are they?
So the rest of my family, this is the only not non-nurse. So this is, sorry, the only non-nurse in the family, that they're all nurses, but an issue with, I guess, her upper and lower valve having, I guess, holes in them, and hoping that they'll close up over time. And if not, they might need some type of surgery or a catheter. Again, I'm not a medical person by any means.
Mm-hmm.
So they're waiting to see if she needs intervention, but obviously got the label of a congenital heart defect, which has been very hard for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I just a very, very little story that one of my grandchildren was born with a hole in her heart, and it did resolve, and it resolved fairly quickly. She also had sleep apnea and a couple of different situations, and through the grace of God, they all resolved. And another one of my grandchildren at 18 months was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and that has resolved. So God does work miracles, right? So we have hope. We have hope for your little guy. We have hope for, did you say her name was Claire? The baby's name is Claire?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
We have hope for Claire, and we're just going to pray in that way, okay? And we're going to lift Claire's mom up as well. It's very difficult on moms when these things happen with little ones, with babies, And we love them so much, and, we just wonder, well, God, why? And we don't, that's a question that we always seem to hear. The question is, we don't know the answer for why. And this is where that hope and that trust comes in. But God does work all things to the good for those who are called according to his purposes. And this little Claire, is conceived and has gestated and is born. And she was desired by God from all eternity. So he loves her even more than we can understand what love is. So we're just going to lift her up. We're going to lift mommy up. We're going to ask that this becomes a time when mommy's faith grows, that rather than turning this, being a moment that turns her away from God, it turns her toward God. And from him, she can receive every spiritual blessing in the heavens, every grace she needs to make it through. And you too, Sarah, as you have so beautifully demonstrated. So, Father God, we do come before you in this moment, and I do want to lift Sarah up, and I want to lift little Claire's mom up at this moment. Let's start with the moms, Lord. It is so hard for us when we see our little ones suffering. And of course, here's the deal. It draws us so close to your mother. It draws us so close to our Blessed Lady, who from the moment her son was born, she knew what his destiny was and lived every day with that knowledge that she was going to lose him at some point in time. Not really knowing exactly how, except knowing that it would one day transpire. And so, Mother, I entrust to you, Sarah, and I entrust to you, Claire's mom. And I ask that you take them into your maternal heart. And I ask even more, Mother, that the grace that Father God gave you by way of your spouse, the Holy Spirit, that very grace that sustained you, that you would now share this grace with Sarah and you would share it with Claire's mom. I know that there had to be moments, Mother, when you were worried and when you were concerned. You wouldn't have been human if that were not the case. And yet, you offered that very worry and that very concern to Father God, and it became such a beautiful prayer, such an oblation, such a demonstration of your absolute trust and hope in him. And I pray that you would acquire for Sarah, who I believe is already all about this, and for Claire's mom, that special capacity, and that you would mother them into this capacity, that you would share with them all that they need to know cognitively, but more, all that they need to experience within the inner confines of their heart, the deepest part of their being. And that with it comes comfort, with it comes consolation, with it comes hope. And now for these little ones, for our dear sweet Luke, for precious, precious Claire, created, Father God, in the image of your Son, in your image, in the image of the Holy Spirit, in the Trinitarian image, created to be a reflection of your reality in the world, You loved them into life. You chose them for this moment, for such a time as this. You entrusted them to this set of parents, each of them. And so, Father, I know that you long for nothing more than for them to receive ultimate and complete healing. And we know that you can affect it. We know that there is no health condition, no disease, there's no kind of disability. Nothing is greater than your power. And we ask now that through a singular grace coming forth from the Holy Spirit, that this power, this healing power, this grace of healing would be demonstrated in these children. I ask that these holes that are in the valves of Claire's wee heart would be mended immediately. I ask that, Lord. I ask that it would be a miraculous healing. I pray the same for Luke. And we dare to ask it because you are the God of the impossible. You are the God of all provision. You are the perfection of goodness, of beauty, of love. We can't even imagine your reality. And yet there it is with us. And so I pray for these children and these moms. I pray for the entirety of the family. I pray that you raise these children up and that you do great things in them and that they live to serve you in a unique and special way in your kingdom and for your kingdom. And may all of this be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, through the merits of his cross, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen.
Amen.
So there you have it, Sarah. We wait.
Thank you.
We see. We trust. We hope. We pray.
Amen. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, honey. Please keep us informed.
Will do. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye now. Ah, you know, our God is an awesome God. He is just an amazing God. He loves us so, so very much. And we ought never to doubt that. We ought never to doubt that. We live in a broken and fallen world. The effects of original sin are all around us. The effects of our own personal sin are all around us. The effects of the sins of others are all around us. It creates disorder. It creates lack of harmony. And yet God takes all of that debris and he works good out of it. Always with a mind toward that which is most important. And what is that? It's our eternal salvation, right? And when we know that God is tending toward that, it makes things beyond bearable. It makes them glisten and shine and shimmer with divine life. And isn't that a wonderful thing? We're never under the circumstance. We're above the circumstance. Experiencing it, yes. But not letting it tear us down. And that comes only through grace. Spend time with our Lord. You know, spend that time like we talked about earlier. Spend that time. You know, let him imbue you. Let him work it out in you. He wants to do the work. You just have to show up and be willing. That's our job. He's the transformer. We're not. He's the transfigurer. We're not. And he's capable of all of it. Let's go to Brandy. She is in Sherman, Texas this morning, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love having that holy conversation with you. Brandy is listening to us via Guadalupe Radio. She is a first-time caller. Jeff, can you ring that bell? There we go. Brandy, thank you for being with us. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Johnette. How are you?
Very good. Very well. Thank you for asking. So what's going on?
Well, one of my best friends, her nephew went hiking in Grand Tetons National Park last Tuesday, and they have not been able to locate him.
Oh, no.
And his name is Kian McLaughlin.
Okay.
He's 27 years old.
Okay. Was he alone or was he with others?
He was alone. He has a thick Irish accent, and that family has been through a lot. So I need prayers that we find him and that he's safe.
Yes, we'll do it right now, Brandy. And here's the good news. Our Lord knows where he is. And so we're just going to ask that through the power of the Holy Spirit, his location is detected and that he is found healthy and he is found well. Now, Brandy, if on the other hand, he is found, but he's not found well, we're going to trust in God's providence for healing for him. And if, in fact, this has been the means by which our Lord takes him home, we're going to pray for the repose of his soul. But we're praying that he's found, and we're going to pray that he's well, okay? And so, Father God, we come before you in this moment, and you know where your son Ken is. Your eyes are ever upon us, Lord God. It says that in sacred scripture, and your eyes are upon Ken right this very moment, Lord. You know where he is, and you know that there are people that are looking for him, searching for him. You know, Father, the state that the family is in right now. And so I ask, Father God, that you bring consolation to this family, that you bring hope to this family, that you allow this family to enter into the abundance of grace that you have in mind for them to receive in this very moment, grace that was stored up on Calvary's Hill by the merits of your Son, appropriated for this moment. And we ask now that those graces would be received by this family and that they would cling to them, Lord, as this search continues. I ask that you supernaturalize the gifts and talents of those who are searching, for all of the police efforts, for detective efforts, for volunteer efforts. I just ask that you would quicken into their hearts and into their minds that which they know in the natural. But I ask, Lord God, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you take that knowledge and you ratchet it up to the supernatural. I pray for the gift of wisdom for them. I pray for the gift of knowledge for them. I pray for the gift of observational skills that defy our capacities as individuals. I pray, Father God, that they would be guided by the light of the Holy Spirit. I ask that they would see things perhaps even beyond their own natural sight when they're looking at whatever clues may be there. I ask, Father God, that this young man has been protected from all calamity, that he's been protected from any attack of animals, that he's been protected from any tragic falls, that he's been protected from any kind of situation that involves water. We ask, Lord God, that if he is injured, that his injuries are not fatal. We ask that in whatever way is possible, he is able to maintain until he is found. And we pray that he is found quickly. We pray that this finding results in favorable things for him. We pray that his life here would continue until that moment that you know that he is most ready to meet you face to face. And I must say, Lord, if that moment has come already, then I pray, Father God, that in that moment, he gave fiat to your son, that he turned his face to the one who loves him unto death, and that in receiving this grace of that moment, he is experiencing, should it have been your will that he be taken in this way, he is experiencing eternal life. I pray this, Father God, but we're praying for a finding here, Lord. We're praying for that, just so we know what we're praying for, Lord. We're praying for that. But we also pray for the best ultimate result for this young man, which is always life on high in your son, whether it's lived out in this world, but always to be eternally lived out in the next. And so we ask for all of this in the name of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of the cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with a maternal beatitude of our Blessed Lady. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Brandy, You know, all of us are praying, and I want to ask everybody out there to continue to pray for the finding of Ken McLaughlin. I ask that he be found well, Lord, and this is what I also ask. I ask that you, Brandy, would let us know one way or the other how this works out, okay?
I will, and his name is Ken, and it's C-I-A-N.
Spell it again, please.
Ken. C-I-A-N.
Okay, it's Ken, not Ken.
Ken.
Yes, got it.
Yes,
C-I-N, everybody. Ken. Okay, well, we're praying for Ken. We're praying for his family. And Brandy, let them know that we're praying and let them know that they've got thousands of people that are praying right now. Okay? And let's just commit.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, darling. God bless you. And please let us hear from you. And I just want to say this, everybody. How about this? How about let's each pray a Hail Mary, at least one Hail Mary a day for Ken, right? You know, for his discovery and that he is healthy and that he is well. But obviously, you know, if that isn't the way that this has turned out, in faith, hope, and trust, that he has the grace of that final endurance to be able to say yes to Jesus, okay? I don't have any sense of it one way or the other. I just think that we cover all of our bases, you know, in moments like this. So thank you, Brandy, and thank all of you for your attentive regard of all of this. We have Chris with us. Chris is in Antioch, Illinois. She is listening to us via 88.5 FM. Hey, Chris, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. That was very moving, and I am praying for that person lost, you know.
Yes.
I'll try to get it together.
Okay, sweetheart.
You know, I work in mental health, and I've worked in mental health for so long. And I've come into the faith in the last 7 years, and all I can say is the beautiful transformative power of Jesus and the faith to heal all minds and all souls. And we try in our work to provide a Band-Aid in this world.
Yes.
And
yes,
we could teach all sorts of skills and mm-hmm. things, but to, you know, and it's frustrating because once you come into this knowledge, you can't really share it. I work on a crisis line, and I can try, you know, address it. You know, I can ask about a person's spirituality and encourage them to. But you know, you can't really talk about mm-hmm. it fully. And but I know the truth now,
yes.
And it's like coming into out of the desert into an oasis.
Yes.
But I wanted to lift up somebody I worked with who I tried to link to services to.
Yes.
A poor young man who is so lost in his mind. He hears voices.
Yes.
And he's very, very paranoid and frightened in this world. And
yes.
I attempted to help him and link him to services, and he is lost. Now, in Chicago, he was cut loose from the ER, meaning they didn't help him, they didn't assess him properly,
mm-hmm.
and he is completely lost in the wilds of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
No money, no contact, no phone, and I just feel horrible for it.
Yes,
and I'm sorry.
That's okay, Chris.
I just wanted prayers for this young
sure.
man
sure.
who's lost
sure.
down there in this urban area. I
mm-hmm.
pray that there are services for him.
Yes.
But given the hospital he went to, which you needed security, you needed metal detectors
yeah.
to get into the ER, I pray, right. I fear for his safety.
So, Chris, we're coming very close to the close of the program, sweetheart. And we do want to pray for this young man. And, you know, what I would like to do is we enter into this prayer. And, you know, I was talking with all of you earlier about entering into prayer through the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ and the sufferings that he experienced in his passion. And perhaps one of the most provocative moments of Christ's passion is when he cries out to Father God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now, here we are, and we've heard about Ken being lost, and now Chris is sharing with us that this young man who is so mentally challenged with, you know, mental illness is lost in Chicago somewhere with no food, no money, no resources, no place to go. And unfortunately, we know that there are numbers of people who have been put out into the streets by mental health institutions, out of prisons and jails, as well as out of hospital emergency rooms. And so they represent a large number of people that are lost. And so, Father God, here's the thing. Just as we prayed for Ken, you know where this young man is. You know that he is not forsaken. You know that you are there for him. And we call down now, we enter into that forsakenness of our Lord at that moment, and the grace that was appropriated, that we not feel forsaken for these men. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Bye-bye now.